Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. We are Computer and Technology Radio. I am Mark Cohen. She is Marcia Collier. And we got all the great tech stories, news, and a lot of really interesting information this week. So thank you for joining us again. And Marcia, how are you?
Hi. Yeah, we're not going in depth on things. We're going to hope if you find something interesting on our show, you could go look it up on the internet. But we're going to give you the top facts that you need to know.
Yeah, and here's something we haven't really spent a lot of time on X in the last couple of months because we spent so much time prior to that. And so you had some information about some of the major changes
made,
going on.
Well, Elon is always announcing changes, but this one was kind of significant. All X accounts with over 2,500 verified subscriber followers will get premium features for free.
Okay.
And accounts with over 5,000 will get Premium Plus for free, which means I get Grok and I get all the benefits and longer text, because premium features ordinarily cost $8 a month.
Okay.
And include the ability to share longer posts and video uploads, have larger reply prioritization, sure. And see fewer advertising.
But you still have to pay for the monthly to be verified.
Yeah.
Okay.
And X Premium Plus users have those features and supposedly no advertising in the For You section, which I normally don't spend a whole lot of time in. I go direct to comments and discussions and things, and following timelines, as well as access to, like I said, Grok, which is the AI chatbot for X, Elon's magic. So, you know, the only way a user can display a blue check mark that once denoted a verified account before this was, you know, you had to pay for it. Or back in the old days, they had to verify you. You still have to verify yourself. I mean, they're not going to give you a verified check mark unless they know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. I think it's important that they know who people are and who is on the site. And hopefully, I think this is a great step forward. It's a benefit. They're giving good benefit. So I'm hoping, because someone did a poll on Twitter the other day, and they said, you know, which social media network do you go to first thing? And Twitter was the answer. Twitter was the overall winner by far, mainly because people go to Twitter to see the news. Before you hear it, you know, because a lot of people don't listen to radio or TV in the mornings. They get up. They don't have time to read the news. You go to Twitter and you get Lou Gossett Jr. passed away, a brilliant
actor.
Yeah, that
was sad.
I would have never known that had I not been on Twitter that morning. So... And the minute the horrible boat collision in Maryland with the bridge.
So terrible.
It immediately was on Twitter. You could see way more than you could ever see anywhere. So, you know, hopefully we're going to bring back Twitter the way it used to be.
So, you know, it's been, I don't remember how long, a year since it became X, since Elon bought the company?
A little longer, I think.
So what is your assessment? Because you were a huge Twitter person.
I still like it the best. I think TikTok, you can waste a lot of time on. And frankly, if you have that much time to waste, why don't you go volunteer at a charitable organization?
Right.
I mean, it is amusing, but I took it off my phone immediately because it was just a waste of time. You're not necessarily learning facts. You're learning people's opinions. And it was just not for me. And Facebook has just become, you know, I'm dying. My aunt's dying. My uncle just died. The dog just died. Happy birthday. And that's all lovely and kind. I do go there to check on businesses. And Instagram has just become a bunch of ads and a spam fest to me. Yeah. So
I will tell you something, the life out of it. TikTok. This week for Distinguished Speakers, I hosted General H.R. McMaster, who was Trump's former national security advisor, not for very long, about 13 months. But I did ask him, is TikTok a threat? And his answer was absolutely, positively, China is getting information they should not have, and it's a major security threat, according to him.
Well, you know, and that may be. I did know he passed away, but I knew the legal counsel in the U.S. for TikTok, and there were a lot of security measures, and the company did move to Singapore, so they operated out of Singapore. So when our government chooses to nail someone as a spy or criminal or an enemy, they're going to keep up the dialogue, and this is my personal opinion. I knew at the time they were making major moves to get out of Chinese control, and which is every business in China. So I don't know. I think an American company should take it over. I think it could be profitable. But that's just what our government is doing now. It's just nonsense. Everything we hear from every candidate is just more propaganda.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting election, needless to say.
It's
going to
be a mess.
But we don't do politics, so we'll move on from that. You know, we've been talking about EVs now since the first, probably, I think Prius maybe was one of the first that ever came out.
Yeah.
And we've been talking, and Marsh and I have been saying for years, we just don't think they're all they're cracked up to be, and there's a lot of hidden costs. And, you know, how much does it really run to, you know, how much does it really cost to run an EV? And we've never really been able to get a great answer out of it. But you found a new story that was kind of, I thought, interesting, though.
This freaking blew me away. And it was from The Drive, which is a legitimate publication. It's, you know, like a competitor to all the famous auto racing websites and magazines. It seems that we don't take into consideration when you have a car that weighs 6,000 pounds, that it's going to wear through tires a whole lot quicker.
Yeah.
You think about step on the accelerator, burning tires, as we used to call it. If you're doing all that, and people who have electric cars, I mean, hey, you got the power. You're going to test it when you can, right? The Drive was saying tires are the new oil change.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to change their tires a whole lot more than they expected. Big name tire companies like Michelin and Goodyear, they sell tires in for EVs. And of course, marketing is one reason, but there are legitimate requirements. I mean, a mid-sized truck weighs as much as a regular dually pickup, which is a heavy vehicle. So they interviewed a bunch of people. Rivian RIT's needing rubber after as few as 6,000 miles. And they published that story last April.
Yeah, that's very sure. I mean, now I will say that it's very interesting that in the old days, when you got tires on your car, you usually had them for, you could get 20, 30,000 miles.
Right, right,
well,
easy.
No more. Now, if you're lucky, you maybe get 10 to 15,000. And that's just a regular, that's not an EV, just a regular car.
And when you look at the prices of tires made for EVs, like the Goodyear electric drive starts at $201 each. The electric drive GT models, also, that's a higher grade, $271 each tire. So you're talking over $1,000 for a set of tires.
Yeah, it's expensive.
And
it is expensive.
The Pirelli Scorpion All-Terrain Plus tires, right, $461.68.
Yeah, Pirellis have always been, well, I must say, I think they're overpriced, way overpriced. But
yeah, but they look so good on the car. Sorry,
yeah,
Mark.
They're nice looking tires. There's no question about that.
Having some weird brand tire on your car, just, yeah. But we're old school. You know, maybe people don't care, but when you have an EV, you have to have the proper tires. And Goodyears are great tires.
Yep.
I mean, they came stock on my Corvette. Always use Goodyear. But my God, every 6,000 miles, that's a big expense.
That is kind of crazy. Well, all right. Because
people who buy EVs are the people who drive their car a lot.
Right. Oh, yeah. No question about it. I went to the Dodgers opening game yesterday, and I saw my second Cybertruck, white this time.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't like it, but it was there. So
yeah,
there's two of them out there on the road that I've seen.
No, I've seen two as well in the supermarket parking lot. And yeah, great. If you like it, you got the money, God bless you, buy one.
You know,
and understand all the expense that you're going to have to pay. I mean, if you buy a Hummer, for God's sakes, the old Hummer, the gas alone, the insurance, it could kill you.
Oh, yeah.
And not everybody in our day took all that stuff into consideration when we bought a vehicle.
Yeah, car insurance costs are just gotten outrageous.
And
crazy, doubled.
For EVs, they are crazy because the repairs are so expensive to make. People are just abandoning their vehicles rather than repairing them.
Very interesting. All right. So we got a solar eclipse coming up. Is that the idea?
You've been living in a turtle shell. What?
Yeah, I keep my sunglasses on, so I never look at the sky. It's bad for your skin.
You don't read. You don't. But okay. Yes, there are April 8th. There will be a solar eclipse. I was going to fly. We were going to fly out to one of the cities with some friends of ours and spend the night at the airport hotel and watch the eclipse and then just fly back to L.A. But it was tough organizing it, blah, 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 blah. But
Where in what cities do they say it's the best place to see it?
Well, if you go anywhere on the internet and look at a map, or if you go to my Twitter feed, I've been posting a map. Pretty much it goes from like Mexico up to the northeast corridor of the United States. But you have to take into consideration, it's cloudy in a lot of places.
Right. So you may not see much.
But the bottom line of this story that we want you to know is never look up, especially at an eclipse of this magnitude, without solar eclipse glasses. And they don't have to be expensive. You can find out easily when, like in Los Angeles, we'll only see a 47% darkness, totality. We won't see totality. And I've heard that the feeling that you get when the totality occurs, when the sun goes out and it gets colder. So it'll go from Dallas, Texas, Oklahoma to Little Rock, Arkansas, Poplar Bluff, Missouri, Paducah, Kentucky, Carbondale, Illinois, Evansville, Indiana, Cleveland. It keeps going. So you can see where it goes. And it's only going to be about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a nap, you'll forget it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But okay.
you need to wear the glasses. And there are a lot of companies who are faking that they are approved and put the information on the side of the glasses that say these glasses are certified. Absolutely. By the way, there were also a couple of totality flights on Delta Airlines where they're just flying and Southwest and United also, where they were flying up north to watch it. You have to double check that your glasses are the right kind. I tweeted a link to a company, to a website that lists the official list of official brands. And the brand that I bought, two for $14.99 on Amazon. You don't have to spend a lot of money. They can be rinky-dink glasses, but it's all about protecting your retina. Because looking at the intense light from the sun, even in a non-totality area where you don't see the corona, for just a few seconds can do permanent damage to your retina.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. And the fact that there are companies out there that are selling them, claiming they're okay, that's criminal.
Yeah, it is criminal. But, you know, I think follow the news. But if you want to go to my website, to my Twitter, you'll see the link to the place that you can get a list of brands. They need to be ISO 12312-2 certified. But anybody can put that on there. So.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's very frightening. So be very careful with what you're doing. And as Marcia said, make sure you get some that are, I don't know who rates these or who tells you they're safe.
NOAA. Yeah. I don't have the webpage up, but a bunch of government organizations have been tested. And yeah, it's legit. And they sell them on Amazon. So
okay.
A lot of people, and they're NASA approved as well. So you can even
Speaking of NASA
approved. Solar glasses.
Yeah. Speaking of NASA, NASA's going to be firing rockets at the solar eclipse. Why
not?
Sure, why not? Yeah, they're not doing anything right now. So let's just see what happens if we fire at this. Yeah, what's the deal?
Well, it seems they're going to fire three scientific-sounding rockets into the moon. And from what I understand, those will shoot out smaller ones that will go even further. They're going from the Wallops Flight Facility in Wallops Island, Virginia, where 81% of the sun will be blocked. And the point of it is to go up into the ionosphere and see the difference of the quality of the air. You know, will there be ripples in the ionosphere? Ions and electrons wax and wane in the temperature and density differently in sunrise and sunset. What's it going to do during an eclipse? So basically, it'll help us understand how, you know, radio signals will go through space, because that's going to be an important thing if we continue to want to go to space. And tell us a lot about how our communications will do during all kinds of events in the ionosphere and stratosphere.
Nice. And it's apparently the Space Agency project is named after Ra, which I feel like Egyptian
mythology.
Ra was
mythology. The sun god.
Yeah, the sun god, which I feel like I've seen in movies before and, you know, scary movies where they're coming at you. So I don't know. But at least we know about that. So that's good. Okay, we are coming into tax season. So your taxes are due in the next 2 weeks.
Unless you file an extension.
Which you can. Yeah, you can file
an
extension.
Be sure you do that.
Yeah, so, and a lot of people do that. But there's a lot of, we've been talking about AI for quite some time now. But apparently there are a lot of AI scams going on where they use a deep fake and they send you information that actually looks like a real person. There sounds like their voice, it looks like their face. And apparently they're extremely accurate. And the idea being they try to get you to do something, to give out information, you know, to give personal information by using this AI.
Yeah, because they say they're going to do your taxes for you.
Right, correct. So here's what we need. We need your Social Security. We need all your, you know, your credit card numbers. We need all kinds of crazy stuff. Apparently, a personal finance columnist apparently revealed she lost $50,000 in an Amazon call scam. So even those that are smart about these sometimes can be fooled by them.
Even Shohei Ohtani lost $450 million, but hey, that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, just a few bucks, right? So you want to remember that the IRS will never contact you by email, phone, or video conference. The IRS generally sends you physical mail. So that's something you should keep in mind. That means that any email you might receive from someone purporting to be the IRS is not real. Don't respond. You know, as we tell you on these things, never respond to these kind of things. Also, the IRS agents do not call you to demand payments. The IRS only accepts legal U.S. tender. They won't be asking you to pay the country's currency, another country's currency, or crypto or gift cards. So, you know, if you get a call from somebody that says, I'm with the IRS and you owe us $50,000 and you need to pay us in cryptocurrency, that's not a real thing. You should also use multi-factor authentication for every online account. You know, if you go on the IRS website and sign up for your website, which any taxpayer can do, you can add the IRS what they call their IP PIN system that requires you to enter a code known only to the IRS. So that's something you want to be very, very careful with, because that can happen. And also, you know, online safety, we talk about, Marcia, you've been using a VPN for years. Make sure you're on a secured Wi-Fi connection. Do not file your taxes. You know, don't go to the Laker game and sign onto the Lakers, free Wi-Fi and then start doing your taxes, because that's not a really good idea. So just be, just be very, very careful. Report it if it happens. If you're a victim of some kind of crime, you want to report it immediately to the IRS. There's a monitoring group called Taxpayer Advocate Services, and it took the IRS apparently about 19 months to resolve identity theft in 2023. So just check out the FTC's online Identity Theft Recovery Center, and if you've been scammed, report it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you can do.
Yeah, there is nothing else you can do. Next story, a little interesting and yet a little, frightening. New York City is testing weapon detection systems in the subway. They have a system called Evolve that scans people as they walk by, and then it will give an alert on nearby iPads. That's one of the things they're trying to do to test it. And, you know, it's something that you want to do because it's very, sometimes there are scary stuff that goes on in the subways in New York City and in other areas. And apparently it works much like a metal detector. If it detects a weapon, it'll alert the iPad, which is being monitored by the police. And that gives them the ability to find whoever it is and track them directly to, to where that is. So I have never ridden the subway in New York. I suspect you probably have, Marcia.
Oh, absolutely. When I was a kid, it was a safe place to go.
Yeah, not so much anymore. So they're kicking off a 90-day waiting period to identify companies that have expertise in weapon detection, and then they'll decide who they're going to use to do this. But I mean, I think it's a great idea. And apparently this evolved technology was tested a couple of years ago and had mixed reviews. So they're looking to find some companies that are really experts in doing this. The mayor's office said that the NYPD seized 450 weapons this year as of March 24th, including 19 illegal guns, up from 260, so almost double the amount of weapons that were found in the previous months. And they've been used in shootings and a rise in crime in New York. So, be careful out there.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's really something crazy. But, we need some kind of help with what's going on everywhere.
Exactly. All right. So you've been on this campaign for RCS messaging on
Android. Well, it's not really a campaign. I mean, what brought the Department of Justice antitrust suit to Apple was the fact that they, weren't operable with other messaging services, that they had their own.
Right.
And it didn't work. May have been different if it even worked. But if you've ever had a photograph sent to you by someone in Android, Mark, it comes out like crap.
Yeah, sure.
And when Apple sends a video to someone on an Android, it's crap.
Yeah, I've never seen, I have to look at somebody either, because all my friends have iPhones. So I don't know that I've actually seen that.
Yeah, well, all your friends do have iPhones. And it's part of the Apple walled garden where they want everybody to be in their little club and the whole thing. Well, the Department of Justice doesn't believe that this is a good thing for society. And for some unknown reason, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that on the Android website, there was an announcement saying that RCS is coming to the iPhone in fall of 2024. Now, getting into the depth of the iPhone and the RCS and the Android, for instance, when Android pictures, when I like a picture that somebody sends me a picture, I see a little thumbs up bouncing up and down on my screen. when somebody hearts something of mine, I see heart, 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 heart.
Mm-hmm.
I see just little things that I enjoy in the RCS system. And there are other things on more. Maybe one of these days, as we get closer to fall, because I'm writing now my new Android book, we can go in depth in what RCS truly means. But what it does mean, oh, one of the things they're going to have, which is going to be very cool, I hope Apple allows it. You know how you can make stickers from photographs on an iPhone?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you can reduce those into an emoji and put them into your messages. There's a little tiny emoji that's called Photomoji. So, you know, there's a lot of some of the features, blocking spam, all kinds of things. So on another show, I think we should go into it, talk more about it, and see what exactly is up.
Well, there you go. So there's an article from I guess it was a reporter, that talked about Starlink. And he lives in, or she lives in rural Idaho, had it for 2 years. And because he's in an area, or she's in, I don't know what his name is or her name, but in any case, they are, you know, they were looking for reliable internet service, you know, during winter storms and things, you know, long work days and such. And apparently PC Magazine recently named Starlink one of the best ISPs in the U.S., which is interesting because when it first came out, it wasn't that great. But they've increased, they now have satellites have gone from 2,000 up to 5,289 satellites. Their base stations have grown to 250, and their users have gone from 500,022 to more than 2.2 million. So they have certainly improved in all of their technology. And apparently Starlink service has improved, according to this report, for 1.3 million users in the U.S., just using their standard dish equipment. And so it's good to see that that's kind of working and that it's getting better, because there were a lot of complaints about Starlink when it first came out. Pricing is a little higher than it was. It was $120 a month now. It used to be $99, but not a dramatic increase. And their equipment apparently is easier to get, although it does cost you $600 to sign up for Starlink. But it looks like it's getting better, and that's good to hear, because then, as we've talked about before, in these rural areas, it's very difficult for people to get internet service, and it's very important to get it. So,
by the way, I wanted to tell you, I had a email from a listener who, speaking about internet, was having a problem with, they wanted to get a new plan. They were paying way too much to Verizon, and plus they couldn't get a signal out where they lived. So that was really a pain for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the type of people, they were not very techie, and they were not real comfortable with the whole situation. And as we all know, going into a phone store is pretty much like trying to buy a car. It's
right.
Just painful. So I suggested to them, why don't they wanted to go to T-Mobile to test out their service. But T-Mobile wanted Social Security number, set up a whole account before they'd even let him start a trial. And they were not going for that. So it seems that Google Fi has a 7-day free trial. And this is really important because all new phones now, and they had brand new phones that they bought on Amazon that were unlocked. And phones now have an eSIM in it where you do not have a separate SIM to put mm-hmm. into your phone. So they went to Google Fi. They tried the 7 days. They went out hiking. They got a signal. They tried various different places on their farm and different stuff. And Google Fi worked. And plus, they ended up for two lines paying half the price that they were paying to Verizon. So, you know, it's worth it to just don't throw up your hands and listen to the salesman at the phone
right.
store. Starlink may be right for you. Google Fi might be right for you. I kind of still stick with T-Mobile because I have family in England and they have low-speed data for free on my plan. So, I need that because, you know, what a hassle that can be. So, yeah, be careful when you're choosing your Wi-Fi.
All right. This is probably some good news because I know you've been very unhappy on, I think, with Microsoft forcing you to take a subscription
Not doing it.
Yeah, you have not been too happy about that. Well, apparently the next version of Microsoft 365, which is also known as Microsoft Office, which will be released later in 2024, they are offering it as a one-off purchase. Both Mac and PC, it'll support 32 and 64 bits, and it's coming out soon, so you don't have to get stuck paying a monthly fee on that. And that's good news, because a lot of people don't want to have a subscription that's a monthly fee. It'll be for home users. They'll provide updates for up to the next 5 years. Again, as I said, you can purchase it as a one-time, and I don't see a price yet, one-off payment. It'll be released for the Mac OS, supports Windows 10, except for ARM devices. And so far, so good.
Yeah, that's good. So supposedly, they're going to have, believe it or not, Microsoft Office 364. And I don't know what they have in mind, but if you have an opportunity to buy Office 2024 as an independent product, I think that's great. But if you don't want to subscribe, just know that your version of Office will still keep working, and you can still do spreadsheets, use Word, whatever you want to do. It still works,
yeah,
which is good. Also good.
Yeah, and Microsoft Office is a great, I've used it forever.
I don't do anything fancy, and I have an old edition.
Yeah. So Microsoft Office is going to be available shortly. All right. Now, are you a vinyl record fan?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And, you know, I was talking about this over at the radio station yesterday, as a matter of fact, and we talked about vinyl versus CDs. But what's interesting is the fact that vinyl sales, those are those black record things that people buy that have music on. Yes, that people buy. Generally, they're 12-inch, and they're called records.
Mm-hmm.
They come in an album, and they're usually played at 33 1/3 RPM on a record player.
Yep.
I highly recommend you give this a try, because it's kind of a big deal. And the music is so much better. Now, granted, on CDs, everything's digitally encoded, and they're burned with a laser, where you read the record with, what, a needle. Which, every time you use
needles, right?
Every time you use that needle, it degrades it just a little bit. But the point is that real music and true lossless music can only be gotten on a vinyl record. And that's because they make them from, ready for this? Tape recordings. Yes, music studios still have tape recordings because some artists, especially those with real talent, because you can't go back and forth and correct things.
Right.
You kind of have to sing the song all the way through. You know, yes, you have a good editor and they can patch it together, but you have to have the talent to be able to sing all the way through. And a lot of our music these days is mostly digital, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Records, the amount of money, let me see, U.S. music fans purchased around 43 million vinyl records in 2023.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Which is about 6 million more than total CD sales. Now, I realize we're downloading, but again, right, we're downloading digital music. All told, records generated nearly double the profit of their successor format, about $1.4 billion versus $437 million for CDs.
Hmm.
So people are buying less CDs. And when you look, the U.S. top vinyl album sales, number one is Taylor Swift, 1989.
Big surprise.
Taylor Swift, Speak Now. Taylor Swift, Midnights. Travis Scott, Utopia. Taylor Swift, Folklore. Olivia Rodrigo, Guts. Taylor Swift, Lover. Lana Del Rey, Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard? Fleetwood Mac, obviously reissued Rumors. and Lana Del Rey, Born to Die. But this is real music. You know, this is not electronically driven music. And I was looking up for another article, and it seems 20 minutes of recording tape costs $200. 20 minutes. And that's why there's no, you know, oops, I made a mistake, start over again.
Right.
It's expensive.
This story is kind of timely because a couple of days ago, for some reason, I don't know why, I was on the internet looking at vinyl records, and the Beatles had an album that they came back out in the 60s that had a bloody cover.
Right.
It was the Butcher cover. And I remember as a kid, I got this album, and they had, because it was so hideous, they actually covered it over with another cover. So I remember, as a bunch of kids did in those days, pulled it off. They just, you know, they just scraped it off to see. Well, I found mine in the garage. And the reason I thought it was exciting is because I am looking on eBay, and somebody has it for sale for $36,000.
He didn't sell it for $36,000. That's the price.
He has it for sale for $36,000. And it was some kind of special edition, but it's either worth $12 or it's worth $36,000. I haven't quite figured it out.
One of the two. Right.
Yeah. So, so that's kind of cool.
I have to tell you, like, after I saw, you know, the Freddie Mercury movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, we came home, we pulled out the record player, and I played the original Bohemian Rhapsody record. And the music had more depth than it even did in the theater.
The music, magnificent. They were always very, what they used to call high fidelity.
Yeah, well, yes, and stereo, too.
And stereo, right, exactly. Well, very, very, very nice. All right, well, should we do some movie stuff?
Speaking of which, yes, let's do the movies. You do the top 10 movies, March 14th through March 20th from realgood.com.
All right. Number one, Poor Things. I thoroughly enjoyed one of the weirdest movies I've probably ever seen. Poor Things, worth seeing. And Emma Stone won the Academy Award for Best Actress for that movie. Again, Oppenheimer's still up there, which was an exceptionally good movie. Not the most fun movie to watch, but certainly an exceptionally good one. Number three is American Fiction, also a outstanding movie. Dune, I haven't watched, but everybody, even I think it was Steven Spielberg, said it's one of the best sci-fi movies he's ever seen. So I guess I might have to try to watch that. Damsel with Millie Bobby Brown, kind of a King Arthur story, which I enjoyed. The Holdovers, we've talked about. Excellent movie. Argyle, which was fun. Not great, but fun. Wonka, which was a lot of fun. The pre-Willy Wonka story. And let's see, number nine is Killers of the Flower Moon, and number 10, which I actually watched, called Ricky Stenicki, which is a kind of a cute and funny, if you got nothing better to do with some time, it was a cute movie. So that was your movies.
Okay. And TV shows, before I even get to the list, I want to tell you that I blasted through, Three Body product.
I'm about three quarters through it.
What is it called? It's Three Body.
Three something, yeah.
Three Body Problem.
Yeah, Three Body Problem.
It's excellent.
Yeah,
it's sci-fi.
I don't know where it's going,
best.
But it's really interesting.
It's best, and I wanted to let you know that, like, the immediate charts, you know, the daily charts, that was number one for about a week, and the new Moses documentary is now number one. Not on what we're looking at, because this is past watching.
Yep.
It's supposed to be really great, and a good thing to watch on holiday weekend.
Yeah, there you go.
Number one from last week, The Gentlemen, which was spectacular and wonderful, and watched on Netflix.
Very entertaining.
It's really good. And the next one is Shogun.
Don't care.
Which is still very popular. Apples Never Fall. I'm not familiar with that one.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
What was it about?
It's, I don't want to give too much of it away, but it's a wife who suddenly disappears, and they don't know where she is. And that's about all I want to give you, because there's
and
a
then
lot.
And then number four is Manhunt, which
that's
I assume.
Excellent.
It
that's
is?
It's excellent. It's about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. You know, I was at the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, where they had his hat from that night.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And they had Mary Todd Lincoln's handkerchief with his blood on it, and I saw it.
Oh, gosh.
It was amazing.
That's
okay, number five, Quiet on the Set.
Don't know. I've never even heard of that.
Yes, that's supposedly is a must-see. In the old days, child actors were not exactly treated properly, let's say. And from what I've heard, you need to see this is pretty much a documentary. It's on Max, and it tells the story, and it's supposed to be very good. I have not seen it yet.
Interesting. Okay.
Resident Alien is number 6.
Yep.
Masters of the Air is number 7. That's spectacular. 8 is The Signal. Don't know what that is, but it looks interesting. The Regime is number 9. And number 10 is Constellation, which I watched about 5 minutes of, and I went, eh, and went to bed.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, you know, yeah, it looked good, but maybe not. And it was just not for me.
All right. Hey, that's it for us. There's the music. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you being with us. Listen to us every weekend on Computer and Technology Radio, and we'll see you next week.
Tell your friends, please like us, love us, subscribe. We love doing this for you every week. Have a happy holiday weekend. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier, produced by Brain Food Radio Syndication, Global Food for Thought.